Well, this is Brother Thurman. I welcome you again to the next recording of the ABCs of Christian Growth, and thank you for joining in today. I hope that you've been having a wonderful day and that your walk with the Lord is beautiful, because it is, isn't it? Our Lord is beautiful, and He's wonderful, and He's real, and He's alive, and He cares. The Bible says, "For He careth for you." Doesn't that comfort you? It does me. I'm glad He put that in the Scripture so that I could read it and be comforted by it, that He careth for you. A lot of ways to show somebody that you care for them, and a lot of meanings of love, but there's no love like Christ's love. When I sign my, when I write people or email them or something like that, and I tell people that I love them, I don't tell them that I love them. The way that I do it is I say, "I love you with Christ's love." And that makes a difference in my heart, and it makes a difference in what they hear about. It means more to me to say it that way to people, because there's a difference in Christ's love than human love. And we should study that sometime. Maybe we will. I think maybe there's even some of that in the ABCs. I'm not sure, but I think there could be. But anyway, I hope you've been having a wonderful day or evening or whenever you listen to this. I want to let you know again and remind you that if you have anything in these studies that you see where I've made a mistake or where I've have, I only use the King James Bible, the 1611 authorized version. So if you happen to hear anything that that you need to talk to me about, you're welcome to email me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com. My intention is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify the Word of God and to have studies with you and to learn the Word of God and see what God says about everything. A lot of people in this world, especially in this world we're living in right now, have got a lot of ideas about what God says and what God thinks and what this and that and the other, but they got no scripture behind it. And the Lord said His word is going to stand forever. And the Bible says it liveth and abideth forever. And God's word is what we're going to be judged by, is what people are going to be judged by the word of God. And it's important to know what God's word says if you're a Christian. And you'd be surprised how comforting, well, maybe not you, but people would be very surprised how comforting the Word of God is and how it stabilizes you as a Christian, how it supports you and how it keeps you from being snared, and it puts trust in you, and it makes you feel safe because it's God's Word. And anything the Lord says to you that you hold the Lord to, the Lord always comes through. He never fails in anything. I won't say that there's times that we don't understand how He does things, because He's God. And we're human. We're finite. He's infinite. So let's enjoy the Word of God today together. Let's go ahead and get started before my tongue gets completely wrapped up and can't talk right and can't think right. But anyway, some things the Lord said about life. We're talking about life, our studies about life. And we've asked the question to begin with, what is life? Well, we've been going through the Scriptures and trying to find out what life is and what the Bible says about it. You can go down ask anybody and talk all day, all week, all month, all year to people about what life is. But you, how many years have you been living? How much have you talked about life and what is life? Have you come to a conclusion yet? Well, that's because we've not gone to the truth. The truth is the Word of God. If God's Word says something about life, we can trust it and we can depend on it. And we can stake our lives and our souls on it. And whatever it says, we can put in our minds and in our hearts. We can understand it, and we can step out on it. You can trust God's Word to live by God's Word. It's not going to try to trick you. It's not going to manipulate you. It's not going to seduce you or do anything wrong to you unless you're coming at the Word of God to manipulate it. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people that try to trick that book. And that book will turn you inside out, man. It'll mess you up. When you come at God's Word for the wrong reasons and try to manipulate the Lord said He'll meet you face to face. He ain't one bit scared of nobody. And He'll meet you face to face, and He'll turn that Word, He'll make it. Oh, man, the Lord is so smart. He is so smart. And He's got a sense of humor, too. He really does. And He says He'll laugh at your calamity. And you try to put him in a corner or something like that, the Lord will put you in a corner and He'll laugh at you. And I love Him for it. I love Him because He don't let me get away with nothing, and I love Him for that. And I need to be in check until I get out of this body and get my new body, and you too. So, some things that the Lord said about life, we talked about in our last recording. We said that the Lord said that one type of life is more important than another. Remember that? And that for man to be careful to think of life in its proper way. We're not to think of one life. I think what we was talking about last time and what the scripture was saying was the natural life. We're not to overthink or over important or over measure the natural life and think that the natural life is so important. Man, these people are crazy in this world, sending up billions of dollars worth of rockets going to a stinking moon out there where they can't even breathe, and there's no water, and there's no food growing, and nothing. Man's trying to find out to get off of the planet that he can live on, and he can eat on, and that'll grow his food, and that'll give him fresh water to drink and keep him alive, and instead he's looking for a place to go where there's none of that, where he can't survive. Now you tell me who's stupid. You first. I'm not getting on that ship. Some things the Lord said about life is not to overemphasize one life and underestimate the other life. And one type of life is more important than another type of life that the Bible talks about. To a natural man, that's not going to make any sense at all, because natural men do not know spiritual things, and they don't know about the Word of God, and they don't know that there's more than one kind of life. The Lord also said that life is not formed or originated in or lies in or dwells or is comprised of stuff. Your stuff don't mean diddly squat, and mine either. You can live completely and the rest of your days without any stuff. Yes, you can. The only reason that you need to, most stuff that you have is not a necessity. And you don't need anything. You just talk yourself, or either you are persuaded, or you are you're neurologically associated with that television. You didn't think I knew any big words, did you? You're associated with the lies that come off of that television and the magazines and the radio and all the lies and the deceitfulness of this world that tells you what you need and what you don't need, and you need to run and get it because you need it, and you need it right now. So you go into a bazillion dollars worth of debt, go get something that you don't need at all. The Lord is very faithful about giving us our needs. It's all them stinking coveting wants that drive us nuts, and that's stuff. You can live with almost nothing. And the Lord said not to owe any man anything. The Lord said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The world puts so many yokes on you, a car payment, a house payment, insurance, this and that. When you go to buy a car, you get 15 different things you've got to pay for. You got to pay for a tag. You got to pay for insurance. You got to pay for registration. You got to pay for blabbity blabbity blab. You got to pay to maintain the stupid thing, and you got to put gas in it every week. If they want to impress me, give me something to drive that don't take no gas to drive, or don't take any kind of expenses. I think once you pay for a car, you ought to get it and be able to drive it for the rest of your life, and it not break down and it not cost you another penny. Don't you? Why would you go buy something that's going to cost you for the rest of your life? The Lord said, owe no man anything. And that means exactly what it says. Get out of debt. Don't owe anybody anything. And you'd be surprised what living like that is. Most people have, it confuses them and racks their stinking marbles in their head when they think about being out of debt. What? Out of debt? There's no such thing. Yeah, there is. The Lord says there is. And he says that that's the way we ought to live, is out of debt. Owe no man anything. And if you live that way, that takes a big, big weight off of you. And you ain't got to worry about all that stuff. You can think about the Lord freely rather than getting up and having to think about somebody that you don't even know down there sending you bills three times a month. And then giving you emails saying that you're late when you're not. And just putting up with a whole bunch of garbage like that. Stuff. Personal possessions. And that's all it is a possession. You don't own anything. That's the truth. That's what the Lord said. And the Lord said life is not embodied in stuff. If you want life, think about life like the Lord does. And one thing you ought to set as a goal right away is to get yourself out of debt and start living with as least amount of anything that you possibly can, and to ask the Lord to take your greed away. Man, I got some greed in me I've been having to deal with. You don't even realize how greedy we are. We're some greedy folks. Always thinking that we need something. And that media, that television and all the magazines and all that stores and sell this and sell that and all that kind of stuff, it don't do nothing but just flame your greed up. It doesn't do nothing but just fuel your greed. The only way that you can get rid of greed is to confess it to the Lord and ask the Lord to start teaching you how to live contented. The Lord said, be content with such things as you have. And that's hard to do because we're greedy and we're covetous and we think that we always have to have something. There's people that are living today that cannot live through the day without going to the store to get something that, well, I don't know what I'm going after. I'm just going. It's my duty to go to the store and get me something. That's the idea, and that's covetousness. That's greed. That's our evil nature. That's the Adamic nature. But to live out of debt, now that is something. You don't need stuff. If you want some, go ahead and get it. Get what you want. Personal possessions do not have to do with the life that we're talking about, though, and that the Lord's talking about. And if the Lord said it, it's true. Another thing the Lord talked about, now we're just recapping, and I'm sorry I'm taking up so much of your time on a recap, but I need to be reminded of this stuff. Get it? Stuff? The Lord said the majority would and will rather have the broad way than to have life. There are people living in bodies right now, walking around this world of all 8 billion people on this planet, and more than that now, but 8 billion people on this planet, and the majority of them would rather take the broad way. And what's the broad way? The broad way is the way that the devil teaches you that this is the way. Rock music, dope, the pleasures of life, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, sexual perversion, all this kind of stuff. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man. That's the broad way. I got a couple books that I've read through a couple times. The Pied Piper of Rock and Roll from Dennis Corll. I recommend those books if you want to know anything about what rock and roll and the cult behind it, and how the devil's behind it, and how the devil seduces people with music and things like that. I recommend those. It's called The Pied Piper of Rock and Roll, and it not only talks about rock and roll, but country and classical and all kinds of different music, and even the in-your-face stuff that the musicians mock God. They mock him, and they admit in their music of why they're doing their music. Some of them say that when they get up, their music is just something that they play to get people to listen to them. It says the words, and he says we play the music to get people to listen to us, and then we preach to them. Yeah, that's the stuff. But the Lord said the majority would rather go the broad way than to have life. The majority of people on this planet are not looking for life. They're looking for anything but life, if you want to, considering what the Lord calls life. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the majority of people are going to die and go to hell. And they're following the broad way. And the only thing that's powerful enough to pick them out of destruction is the Word of God. God the Holy Ghost is the only one that can change their mind and reach their heart to where they'll accept the Lord and accept the truth and accept real life. The only other thing that the Lord said that we talked about last time was that the Lord's life is to be both loved and hated. There is a way that is called life that is to be hated, the Bible teaches. Or if it came down to it, you would hate that life. The Lord said, if any man love this life, remember, talking about the natural life, and comparing lives, the natural life in the body versus eternal life, or a triumphant life, or spiritual life. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Life. So, if you go your entire life without the Word of God, and you don't have the Word of God around you or have God's words around you, you don't know much about life. The Lord said life is to be both loved and hated. And that's where we finished and stopped on the last recording. Now, where we're going to pick up today is some more things that the Lord said concerning life, and we will read the scriptures to see what the Lord says. The first thing is, the Lord said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. And anything that is keeping you from Him is dangerous, because hell is there, it's real, and it's waiting. The Lord said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. Anything in this natural life that anybody counts to be important, it is minuscule, it is meaningless when it comes to thinking about the dangers of going into eternity without a proper life. Because hell is there, it is real, and it is waiting. The Bible says, talking about hell speaking, it says, It waits for you to meet thee at thy coming. Hell hath expanded herself. That's what it says. To meet thee at thy coming. That's scary to me, man. It's not scary to me. For me, listen, I'm saved, and I know I'm saved, and the Lord saved me by His grace. I know I'm going to heaven. I know there's no chance for the Lord to condemn me anymore, and that He's not going to put, there's no chance for Him to even think about putting me in hell. But I'm still scared of hell. I'm scared of hell for everybody that's going there. Charles Spurgeon said when everybody gets in hell, they look around and there's signs all over the place that says forever, forever, forever. They said there's a sign. One man said that there's a sign for people that are going through the entrance of hell, the gates of hell, going into hell, that says, abandon all hope, ye that enter here. The Lord said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. And anything that's keeping you from Him is dangerous, because hell is there, it's real, and it's waiting. That's what the Lord said. Listen to what He said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9. Now, He's specifically speaking to the Jews at this time, but we can spiritualize this and know that it's true and how important it is spiritually. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halted or maimed, rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And as a matter of fact, that's where the saying of hell fire came from. Jesus coined that. The Bible also says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14 and 14 verse 9, it says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. That ought to scare the stinking socks off of people. One thing the Lord said about life is that you should preserve your life. One of your priorities, or your priority ought to be preserving one's life, is to be a priority over everything. Because when you're walking along and that eternal trap door opens up and you fall into eternity, it's done, man. They say, I remember, I would like to, Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon one time, and I can't remember the name of it. I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, the older you get, the years start really taking it out of you. A Sinner in the Hands of an Angry God. Jonathan Edwards preached that, and I got a copy of it, and I read it. And when I read it, they say that message, they said there was people scared to be standing where they were standing because they was afraid that the earth was going to open up when they heard that message and swallow them up, and they were going to fall into hell when they heard Jonathan Edwards preach that, sinners in the hands of an angry God. They said that people were screaming at that message out of fear. And they should be. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 and 14:9, what we just read about hell. Hell is a real place. It's really there, and it's really waiting. The Lord said, while you have life, believe. While you have the light, believe in the light. There's a lot of people that go by and see Scripture every day and hear people talk about the Lord Jesus Christ every day, and they shun it. They flippantly turn the shoulder to it and turn the back to it. And Be something to see their eyeballs whenever they look at hell the first time. The Lord said that preserving one's... Remember what we're talking about. We're learning about what the Bible says about life and what Jesus said himself about life, what the Lord himself said about life. He said preserving one's life is to be priority over everything and anything that's keeping you from him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's just good business and good business thinking. But when it comes to life and you find a great pearl, one pearl of great price, and it's called eternal life as a free gift that didn't cost you anything, the Lord said you ought to sell everything that you have in life to get it. And the Lord stands wanting to give it to you for a gift. You don't even have to buy it. You can't buy it. The Lord said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. This society that we live in today is so stuck on their stinking selves that they don't want to be told or advised, or they don't want to be instructed. They don't want any wisdom, and they don't want to understand nothing. They want their rights, and they want to do it their way. And that's what they're doing. That's why you got all these people burning down cities now and killing one another, and all this coronavirus and everything going nuts, and earthquakes and ships sinking and you name it. Well, that can't be all having to do with just people being against God, can it? Check your history, man. Read your Old Testament and you'll find out. Yes, it can. God's offended at people. Buy the truth, the Lord said. If that's what you have to do to get truth about life, buy it. And sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Now, we know that life, eternal, cannot be bought. And the Lord was not saying you could buy it. He was saying you had better get it while the getting is good, because things are going to change soon. Man, there's some trouble coming that people have never seen. My mom and dad right now can't believe the way the world's changing. They was raised in the 40s. I was raised in the 60s. And society was nothing like what it is now. These poor generations of children that are behind us, shame on society. Man, these children that are coming up now, they have absolutely no mindset about what it is to go to bed and leave your doors open and your windows open and just shut the screen door and go to sleep and not worry about a thing. They have absolutely no idea what that's like. Wouldn't imagine it. A person is an idiot and a fool not to accept the free gift of life, eternal, that the Lord bought and paid for every man. There will come a time when it will be your last chance. This is what the Lord is stressing in this verse. Buy the truth and sell it not. And wisdom and instruction and understanding. Get all the truth that you can get. Don't you dare sell it. You keep it. You stack truth upon truth. Don't you replace any truth. Keep all the truth. You get all the wisdom you can get. Get all the instruction you can get. And get all the understanding that you can get. Because there's going to come a time it's not going to be available. And it's going to be your last chance. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." Someone once said, "The day has a very brief life. Its heart beats 24 times, and it is dead. The day has a very brief life. Its heart beats 24 times, and it is dead." And that's not all. The Lord not only said preserving one's life is priority over everything, and that's the way you ought to consider it, but He also said this. The Lord said there is another world that is to come that is not the same as this time. And in that world is where life eternal is. That's what everybody's looking for, is where is this eternal life and this other life? We need proof, man. We need proof. You're not going to get any proof. The Lord's already given you a whole book that tells you all about it. And you won't open or crack that book open for nothing. You won't even read any of it. You're not interested in it. You don't really want to know about eternal life and the things after this life. You're a liar. You don't want to know nothing about the what God says about this next life. You're pretending. The Lord said there is another world that is to come that is not the same as this time right here. And in that world is where life eternal is. Listen to what the Lord says in Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." The Lord said it right out of his mouth right there. He said, you will be rewarded for honoring him in this life. He said, but in the world to come, eternal life. That's what everybody's looking for and trying to find and running like stinking ants all over, like an ant bed's been stirred up, going crazy everywhere. They're looking for this life, and they have no control over it and never will. The Lord's already put the plan out there. There it is. Take it or leave it. I mean, this sounds like some hard stuff, but this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And it is hard, because if you go into eternity without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you God's not going to do it your way. You're going to do it His way. One way or another, you're going to do it His way. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hate Him all you want to. It's your privilege. The world will love you for that. In this life, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 and 29, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses and brethren and sisters and father and mother and wife and children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Now, of course, he's talking about the Jews in the tribulation period. But it still applies spiritually to us. The Lord said that there is an everlasting life to be inherited. And you can get it right this very second. You can the Lord will give it to you right this second and write your name down in the book of life if you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. It's called the gospel of the grace of God. That is the dispensation that the Lord gave to the Apostle Paul to preach, that Jews and Gentiles and everybody else are all included now. All you have to do is believe on the Son, and he'll give you eternal life. And do you know man is so stupid that he won't take a free gift from a God that's real? He would rather go down to the God store and buy him a stone or a marble or a ceramic God that he can control and bring it back to his house and set it up and tell his God what to do. People are funny, ain't they? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. The Bible says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And we are. If all we got to look forward to in this life is this life, you're going to be a miserable sapsucker, man. Might as well go to the grave and rot and let the worms eat you and nothing else happen. But that ain't the way it is. That's not what life is. The Bible talks about all kinds of different lives. Life. It talks about this natural life and it being and coming out of a womb and being born into this natural life. And it talks about you laying on a bed and leaving that body and your body going back to the grave. But then you go into another life. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said that everything, he said that preserving one's life is to be priority over everything. And he also said that there's another world that's going to come and that is not the same as this time. And in that world is where life eternal is. That's where I want to be. There's a chance to get something called eternal life to where you'll never, ever, ever have to worry about dying. That's one of man's biggest fears is dying. That's what man's trying to do is figure out how to stay alive. And you can't blame him for that. But you can blame him for denying the one that has given it to man. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. And nobody will come to him. So what can God do? He's not going to force you to accept him. You don't like somebody coming. You don't like some fake telling you that they love you and they want what you've got to give them. And they don't really love you anyway. God wants to be loved because you love him, not because you want something from him. He's already given you something. You got breath. You got life, you got water every day, you got food in your stomach. The Bible says God lets his sun shine on the good and the evil. God is merciful and his grace is unspeakable. And he's long-suffering. He puts up with your trash all the time. But there is one day that it's coming to an end and it'll be your last chance. What else did the Lord say about life? The Lord said he would and did give his life, that is, his flesh, for the life eternal of the world. The Lord said that he came, he was incarnated, God in the flesh, he took on human flesh, and they named him Jesus. He was born into this life. He lived 33 and a half years on this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary on purpose, was crucified, was buried, rose again and ascended back to the right hand of the Father and is there at this very present time, and that he gave his flesh, his life, in the natural life, he gave his life from that flesh for the sins of the world, that men could be saved and have eternal life. Listen to what the Bible says in John. In John chapter 6, verse 48, the Bible says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Isn't that what everybody is looking for? Listen to how plain and simple the Lord said that. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Talking about life. Did you hear what the Lord said? That is a tremendous statement. Listen to it again. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It don't get any plainer than that. The Lord said he would and did give his life, his flesh, for the life eternal of the world. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28. Now we're talking about life and what the Lord said about life. And that verse right there is the answer to everybody's problem. You want to live forever? You want eternal life? You want to not die? There's your answer. But do you know that there's people that will not take that? You resisted it. I resisted it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. God gave you the faith to believe in the grace that he gave you to save you. I wasn't looking for God when the Lord saved me. I knew he existed, but I didn't care. We got slapped in the mouth for saying God's name in our house. I mean, there was some respect for him, but we didn't get up on Sundays and go to church, and we didn't worship him, and we didn't pray to him. Unless it was a special occasion. He was feared and respected, but he wasn't served and admired and adored. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord came here on purpose and took on flesh so that he could take that flesh to the cross in front of all them Jews and let them Jews destroy his flesh and beat his flesh to death. And then hang him on a cross and let him bleed out. And the Lord did that on purpose so that we could have eternal life. That's what the Lord says about life. Matthew chapter 10, verse 45, the Bible says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark and Matthew said that. You know, you cannot kill God. God cannot die. You see, God had to take on a human body, it's called the incarnation, that could die. A mortal human body. God took on a mortal human body, and he was named Jesus Christ. So he, Jesus Christ, could give it his human life, his flesh, for the life of the world. Otherwise, it, say redemption, was not possible. Because all have sinned, and all need to be saved, and all need eternal life. He came to save that which was lost. That's fallen man. Now, God cannot die, but the Son of Man, God in the flesh, could. The victory is that God, the Holy Ghost, resurrected him on the third day, and he will never die again. Praise him. The Lord made a perfect plan. He had it planned out from the beginning, and he executed it and is executing it perfectly. Life has reason. And when we study life from the scriptures, we're learning a whole bunch about from the beginning, Adam, all the way to eternity. Life is in there all the way through in different capacities. Isn't that neat? Only God can do that. You can't kill God. What else did the Lord say? Well, let's do one more. The Lord said, life is to be respected. Something that human beings can't even figure out, but the animals on this earth respect life more than human beings do. Human beings are just like animals. They breed, they preserve themselves, they reproduce. They try to keep themselves alive, and they try to satisfy themselves. What makes human beings different than any animal? That's how come people think this Darwin foolishness, talking about that they came from animals, because they are just like animals. You are an animal with exception of God. A human being is not different than any kind of stinking animal, and that's why people teach your children in the schools that they're animals, and they behave like animals. The Lord said life is to be respected, and whenever God is kicked out and God is out of the equation, people are no different than animals, and they behave like animals. Because they don't respect life. An animal does not pray. An animal doesn't seek God. An animal doesn't have conversation with the Lord and seek to worship the Lord. Only humans have the ability to do that. An animal's spirit is different than a human spirit. You have God as a spirit. You have the angels and the devils are spirits. You have animals that have spirits. And you have humans that have spirits. All of them are different. We'll get into that some other time. But the Bible, the Lord said that life is to be respected. Luke chapter 6. Listen to this. And verse 9. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? Remember, they were mocking the Lord and trying to trick him. And the Lord asked them. But one thing that he said in that verse, is it right or wrong to save or to destroy life? You know, I bet you could stand in a classroom of five-year-olds and ask that question now, and they wouldn't know what to say. In your public classrooms. In a church classroom of children that have been taught by the scriptures and been taught to fear God, they could answer it immediately. Is it right or wrong to save or destroy life? Oh, well, it's right to save life. A child look at you like you're stupid if he has been taught to fear God. But if he's been taught like under Darwinism and animalistic behavior, then you ask him, is it right to preserve or destroy life? They won't know how to answer. Because Uncle Fred just got shot in the face 2 days ago, and nobody cares anymore. You know? Animals don't do that. They don't go around shooting each other in the face. Anytime an animal kills another animal, it's for a reason. Either for self-defense or preservation of their young ones, or either for food. There's a reason. Men kill men, and man kills man because he's evil, and because that's what's in his heart. The Lord said he's a murderer, and they're children of darkness, and they're following the prince of the power of the air, and they're ruled. If you're not saved, you're being controlled by the devil, whether you think you are or not. And the Lord called him a murderer. Or addressed him as a murderer. But the Lord said that life is to be respected. In Mark chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, and he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Of course they did. The Lord said life is to be respected. But you got mankind. You don't see animals going around trying to give each other abortions. Only humans do that kind of garbage. And then they try to defend it, and they argue in court about it. If it's right, why do you have to go to court and argue about it? There's going to be a lot of people in heaven up there that never seen daylight because they were killed in the womb. Have you ever seen how they kill a baby in a woman's womb? There's two or three different kinds of ways. I think one of the most disgusting ways is whenever they take the child and turn his face down and pull him out of the womb just up to his neck, and then they take a knee, some kind of metal sticking device, and they stick it in the back of his skull and suck his brains out of his head. Wow. Is that respect in life? Wonder how many people got shot in the face today. How many people killed somebody, stabbed somebody, raped somebody, and killed them, stabbed them, like the Manson crowd did. I remember reading something about, what was her name? One of the women that was with Manson, the Folger girl, with respect to the Folger family. You know, the coffee Folger, it was that family. And the Folger daughter was over at the people's house the night that they got raided by the Manson crowd. And this woman, this Miss Folger, she got loose and she started to escape, and she ran out of the house and made it to the driveway. And one of the Manson women chased her with a knife. And when she caught her in the driveway, she stabbed her 29 times. And said that Miss Folger, while she was being stabbed 29 times, she was saying, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." And it's been, what, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? I don't know. Manson just died not a couple years ago. But one of the women was doing an interview with HBO, and that was the one that did that. And she said that that's something that has stuck in her mind all of her life is what that woman was saying whenever she was stabbing her 29 times. You can't kill me. I'm already dead. I hope that woman was saved, and that's what I think she was saying. That she was born again, and she knew that her body was already dead. The Lord said, "Reckon your body's dead indeed, and alive unto God." Whole different kinds of life, depending on which life you're talking about, right? But that's what human beings do to each other. And the Lord said life is to be respected. He said human life is more important than animal life. But you couldn't tell nobody that. I was riding down the road and had my little niece, my nephew, or it was my second niece, is what it, anyway, it was my sister's son's daughter. And she's just as precious as she could be. She's probably about 8 or 9 years old at this time. And she's sitting beside me in the truck, and I'm helping her mom and dad move. And her dad's sitting over against the door over there, and she's sitting in the middle, and we're going down the road, and we're just chit-chatting. And I say, something brought it up, and I say, well, people are more important than animals. And that little girl, being in this school that teaches Darwinism and teaches evolution and teaches that animals are more important than anybody and you should kick everybody off of their property and let the little white spotted pussycat have the property and all this kind of stuff they're putting in their heads. She, when I said that, I said, people are more important than animals. She immediately repeated me as if she was so glad to hear that. Yeah, people are more important than animals. And you know what her dad did? Her dad had a reaction to where when he heard me say that, his body turned to the left and faced me all of a sudden as if he was going to correct what I said, but he chose not to. As if I was wrong. That's what's going on in society today. The generation behind us has been taught some of that, and they live in that some of that. But the generation down below them, like my little niece, she didn't know any. She'd been taught completely 100% animalistic values. And when she heard me say that people were more important than animals, she was so happy to hear that. It was her heart talking. Yeah, people are more important than animals. Because that's what God teaches. But people don't think that no more, and that's not the way society is. You shoot a person and shoot a dog and see how much more trouble you get into for shooting that dog. Life. We're talking about life. Life is beautiful the way the Lord says life is. And when you know the truth about life and what life is and what life is not and what life are you talking about, you see the difference? People don't know these things. Only the Bible teaches this kind of stuff because it's truth. When you tell people, which life are you living in? They think you're a stinking nut. I'm living a spiritual life. I'm in a body of a natural life, but I'm living a spiritual life. You say that to a natural man that doesn't know the Bible or know anything about life, he'll think you're a nut. But they don't know anything about life. And you can tell because it's not respected. That's why you got atomic bombs. Why else would a human being develop an atomic bomb except to kill life? I mean, I'm for the Second Amendment. I believe everybody ought, but I'm not for pretending about it. I think everybody ought to have the right to carry it open on their hip. people think twice about opening fire on society when everybody's got a gun hanging on their side. But that's not what people want to do. They want control. It's about a whole bunch of other stupid stuff. So see, anyway, let's don't be foolish and be ignorant and pretend. Let's be about the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. You ask a prisoner the difference between being made free and set free, and he can tell you. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it does. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's what Jesus said. So what have we talked about today? Talking about life. Talking about what the Lord said about life. Some things that the Lord said about life. It's both to be loved and hated. And then the Lord said that preserving your life is to be priority over everything and anything. And we know what life he's talking about. He's not talking about, you can't preserve human life. You try to take care of it and respect it like the Lord said, natural life, but you can't preserve it. Michael Jackson spent a whole bunch of money on account of when he died, he wanted to preserve his life and preserve his body and spent a lot of money trying to figure out how to stay alive. He did. The worms got him. Lord said preserving one's life is priority. He also said that there's another world that's coming, and it's not the same as this one. And in that world is where life eternal is. The Lord also said that he would and that he did give his natural life, his flesh, for the life, eternal life of the world. And he did. And recorded it and gave us the book, the word. And then the next thing that we talked about and the last thing that we talked about was life needed to be respected. Life is to be respected. Natural life is to be respected. Eternal life is to be respected. Triumphant life is to be respected. And spiritual life is to be respected. There's a few more things that the Lord said about it, but we're not going to talk about them on this one. We'll do one more recording and see if we can go ahead and finish out that category of our study on life. Let me give you the scriptures for today. You ready? Matthew chapter 18, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, and chapter 14, verse 9. Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and 46. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 and 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 12. John chapter 6, verse 48 through 51. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Luke chapter 6, verse 9. Mark chapter 3, verse 4. John chapter 4, verse 36. I didn't even read that verse to you. It said, "And he that reapeth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Talking about life being respected. Mark Oh, don't pay any attention to me. I'm messing everything up. The last one is Mark chapter 3, verse 4. That's where we ended today. That John chapter 4, verse 36, that's the next one. The next one, we're going to talk about some of the things that the Lord said about life. And he said that the Lord said how life is one life, or how life in one life is spent will have effect on things in another life. In other words, things in your natural life are going to affect things in your eternal life, and things in the natural life will affect things in your spiritual life and your triumphant life. Interesting, huh? Okay, we'll get into that next time at and begin with John chapter 4, verse 36. But the last one was Mark chapter 3, verse 4. Sorry about being so broken up today, but praise the Lord. We studied some things and found out some more about life, and interesting stuff, isn't it? It's truth, and we can believe it because that's what God says. And I'm glad that he says those things because that's the way we ought to be thinking about life. Life to be respected, and we ought to be thinking about what Jesus did for us with his natural life and what he gave to do that. And also thinking about the life to come. We know that. Everybody's looking for a life to come, but they don't want the Lord, so they're not going to find it. And then talking about preserving one's life. We want the truth about that. The life is to be preserved, and people are to pick eternal life over everything. There is nothing more important or more valuable than eternal life. So, thank you for listening and studying today, and the Lord be kind to you, and we have such a wonderful, wonderful Lord. This is Brother Thurman. I'll talk to you on the next recording. Bye-bye.